The next person coming up on stage might honestly be the person I've known for the least amount of time of anyone who's come up to talk. I think I even saw both of you perform before I met this person. Yeah, I think so. But he's the most important person in my life. Next person is going to be Brad. Again, spoilers. we've known each other for 3 years this December. And earlier today, we, dragged the air mattress that we're currently sleeping on out to the living room, and we're shooting a video that involved us lying in bed with Brad lying on top of me. And, he looked down at me and he was like, "This is your ideal video shoot situation. You are laying down, covered in blankets, next to me, with like no need to move because it'll wreck the shot." And I was like, "You are precisely correct." That is the most true thing I've ever heard. And it was great. I was warm. And I'm sure the video will also be good, but I had a great day regardless. It's that person who can look at me and say things like that and know me so well. And I'm so happy that he gets to speak for you guys, because I get to share that love with you. Next up, Brad Einstein.
If Susie Persh listens to this, that video shoot meant nothing. Also, Steve, seriously, it's not a physical thing. It's just a communion of the souls. I just wanted to add off of one of MB's points. We were talking about which Avengers dick you'd want to suck the most. The consensus is Chris Evans if he's wearing the whipped cream situation from Not Another Teen Movie. Hello, everyone. Hi, everyone. My name's Brad. I'm the monster who's stealing your friend away. It's been weird. I'm so happy that you picked this. And I'll do my best to be brief, but it's across America, and I've had such an amazing opportunity to go across America from sea to shining sea 2.5 times in 1 year via plane and car and feet and a bike. And it's so strange to fall so in love with a country in the same year you fucking hate that country so much. And I know everything that I'm about to say is going to be a bunch of Jack Kerouac, fuck this white dude who's in his 20s and is going to discover the world. I get it, guys. My name is Brad. Just roll with it. But I truly have fallen in love with America. I have had such an opportunity starting in January when Logan Dean at brunch on Sunday said, "Yeah, I'll drive to LA with you on Tuesday." And the things I've had the opportunity to see in a year from racing a blizzard to the Grand Canyon and winning to standing on top of a high desert called the fucking Rattlesnake Hills as a dust devil whips tumbleweeds around me, trying not to breathe because there are fucking tumbleweeds everywhere, to seeing a super bloom in Death Valley, for that one that hasn't happened in 15 years, which, by the way, like a super bloom in Death Valley is just like fucking like a shitty spring anywhere else. and so many unique situations that are also kind of like death. Like I had the beautiful opportunity of like capsizing a canoe in the Boundary Waters. I had an amazing opportunity of getting almost pushed off a road by a lumber truck, off of a cliff, by I should add, like on a mountainside. It was spooky, ooky, but it was amazing. It was amazing. I got to pawn an engagement ring in Oklahoma City. And for everybody who's like, it wasn't for her. It was a long time ago. And I got a lot of gas money for that ring. The point is, America is beautiful. And no place for me, at least, is more beautiful in America than American forests. And I'd like to fucking read a quote because this is a graduation speech. But this is from John Mirren. It's one of my favorite quotes. It's, "American forests, the glory of the world. Surveyed thus from east to west, from the north to the south, they are rich beyond thought, immortal, immeasurable, enough and to spare for every feeding, sheltering beast and bird, insect and son of Adam. And nobody need have cared had there been no pines in Norway, no cedars and deodars on Lebanon and the Himalayas, no vine-clad selvas in the basin of the Amazon. With such variety, harmony, and triumphant exuberance, even nature, it would seem, might have rested content with the forests of North America and planted no more." Like, fucking shit, yes! Right? Fuck yeah, you guys! Fuck yeah! Do that, it is incredible! It is fucking incredible to hear the creaking of the spruce pines in fucking northern Michigan, or to fucking see the face of God in the fucking basilicas of the earth that are the great sequoias, or run at night in a fucking tunnel of rhododendrons in the Smoky Mountains. Then the lights are off and you fall and you crack your elbow, but it's fucking worth it because it's beautiful. And you can guess how many of those events I was on mushrooms for, but it doesn't matter. It was beautiful. And it's gorgeous. I'm obsessed with forests, and I'll bitch and moan a lot about forests. I'll bitch and moan particularly about eastern forests because they got fucked up. We fucked them up. We fucked them up a whole lot. There's the eastern hemlock, which is often called the redwood of the east, which is a lot like saying someone is the Michael Jordan of B2B marketing. It's dying because of something called hemlock woody adelgid, which is just like fucking eating it apart. It's dying. That's because and it's called the redwood of the east because the last redwood of the east was the American chestnut. And the American chestnut has already gotten fucked up by the chestnut blight, so that still on stumps you'll get a sapling this high and then it'll die. And then there's the Dutch elms disease, of course, which ravaged elms through Europe, through America. It was a huge epidemic, much like the AIDS epidemic, only the Reagans didn't deny it was happening. This year particularly, especially anybody, so we had some mental health people talking, hey, if you ever want to walk in a forest, seriously, anybody, it's the only thing that keeps my brain sane. But I walk through forests and I think about forests a lot. And, this is going to be a messy metaphor because, forests are legit getting, fucked up by like invasive species. So let's like just deny that part of the metaphor I'm about to make. But, there is a true majesty in our country. A true and beautiful and glorious diversity that we, that is truly poisoning the most beautiful parts of our country. And it is our duty to fight that poison and, to make sure that that beauty and that majesty is here for our children to bask in. I don't know. I've been thinking about that a whole lot. This week, and I hope I'm gonna try to do that. I hope you all try to do that. I didn't mean to bring it down. I'm gonna finish with a fun story about a gentleman who I kind of feel like as a in the Cascade Mountains I was biking down. Fuck me for saying that. But in the foothills of the Cascades, I met a gentleman named David. I was on a bike And David was on a bike. But David had a dog carrying case with him. And on his mountain bike. And he had about 50 pounds worth of gear on his back. And then he had a this case with him. And it was and he was biking into the Cascade Mountains away from the West Coast. And he's like, hey, man, I was in the Marines, Navy, Army, Coast Guard, National Guard. Now I'm here. And I'm like, okay, cool. What's in that bag? And he is like, that's 70 pounds of broken scuba equipment. And I'm like, oh, cool. What are you doing? He's like, I'm just looking for a good, I'm just looking for like a good scuba shop someplace. And I'm like, dude, you're driving into a mountain range. There is not going to be a scuba shop there. And he's like, and I'm like, where are you headed? He's like, I'm heading to New Mexico. And I'm like, you're headed dude, you're going to go through Washington into a desert, just down straight desert into New Mexico. He's like, I'm going to find a scuba shop. And, I think about him a lot because I get really scared. Claire and I are moving. But he was one of the most beautiful people I met when I got to see America, this year. And I felt like he had no idea what the fuck he was doing. And I felt like he probably didn't get to where he wanted to go, with the shit he wanted to go with. But, I really think that guy had a hell of a story, and I hope that Claire and I have a hell of a story too, and I hope all of you have a hell of a story, and I hope it's not normal, and I hope it's weird as fuck. So thank you guys very much. Hey, you can clap. I don't know if this is weird and indulgent. This is gross, but if it's okay with you guys, this is a music thing. A lot of this has been about leaving and stuff, and Claire and I had a really weird relationship for a long time where we'd date and I'd be like, fuck, and run away. It took us a while to figure things out, and now she's leaving with me someplace. And this is horrifically sappy, but I was wondering if you guys would permit me to play a song that I wrote for her a long time ago and I've never played in public, if that is okay with you guys. Imagine it on a real spooky piano, because all I write is things on spooky pianos, but like, it's so hard to move a spooky piano. This is sappy as fuck, but Claire is leaving. This is maybe for all of you to think I'm less of a monster. Cool. I broke bread some morning with a girl I didn't know. Cause that's what I was supposed to do. And you know, we were both performing, though there wasn't any show. And for the record, you know that girl was you. And you took me to a garden in the middle of the snow, which isn't something I had. Something I had never seen before. I said, the ground, it is so hard. How could anything here grow? You said, it's a conservatory, not a metaphor. And I went down to Lima screaming, moaning, girl, please just leave me alone. Not owning up to that, you wanted me to go. And then I returned a person spurting all sorts of assertions of the words that I learned worshiping a golden black-eyed crow. But I said, oh, hey, Miss Friedman, I said, if I cease my leaving, would you give me a reason, please, to never go? I had a cool piano thing, but it doesn't have a piano right here. So I broke bread some mornings with some girls I didn't love. Cause that's what I was supposed to do. But I would break down without warning with each and every one. Cause none of them would ever become you. And I know my failures abound, and you are in Australia now. But I just wanna tell you how I think you're my person. And I said, oh, hey, Miss Friedman. I said, if I cease my leaving, would you give me reason, please, to never? And hey, Miss Friedman, if I cease to leave, could I make you my home? Do my part to build a garden in the middle of the snow. And you might find that second time it was a metaphor. So hey, Miss Freeman, won't you please believe I won't leave anymore. Won't leave anymore. Won't leave anymore.
Guys, he's gone. I love that guy. He's the best. I got it. Okay. The next.